Could we get transcripts? Okay, welcome to the February meeting of the Board of EMS. We'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. First thing on the agenda is we'd like to introduce Jake Power, who's a new member of the board, and I asked him to just tell us a little bit about himself. So,
First of all, I'm happy to be here. I am from Norwich, Kansas. I got involved in this industry about 14, 15 years ago as a volunteer EMT for a small town service. Worked for that for 3 or 4 years, and it was fascinating. I wanted to do more, so I went looking for more opportunities and got hired on at a service in Reno County. I spent this August, it will be 10 years at Reno, working now as PRN. I spent most of my life as a sales rep in the transportation industry. Had no idea what was going on in this world until I got involved, and it's just been unbelievable. It's been an experience that I never imagined. The things I'm kind of proud of in my life is I spent 2 years, 6 months, and 4 days in the U.S. Army. I spent 24 years as a registered basketball official. I just finished my 36th year as a football official, and spent 6 years on the chamber and the council in Norwich, and 8 years as the mayor there. And now I have the pleasure and honor of serving here, and I'm looking very much forward to learning and listening.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for your service. And we're glad you're here. So, okay, moving on, we need to look at approval of the minutes from October 3rd meeting. Anybody have any comments or concerns about those minutes? Hearing none, I'd ask for a motion to approve.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of approving the minutes, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Moving on, I don't have any public comment here. I didn't know if there. Okay. All right. Moving on. We need to approve the executive committee actions from our previous executive committee meeting. Joe, can you summarize those for us?
Absolutely, Mr. Chair. So the executive committee did meet November 24th, I believe is what it was. Five regulations that were in process that we needed just some quick guidance on to move forward. So the actions before you were in the board brief, one was with 10911 definitions, adding a definition of airway maintenance. The second dealt with the educational standards and some spelling errors that were in there. So these were all things that were caught by the Attorney General during their review. And basically stated that you might want to address these things as you go through. So the definitions, they did say that we might want to add that term in there. The executive committee did land on the definition that's before you in the packet. And then on the educational standards, yes, we misspelled shoulder. We forgot the ER. So it cleared spell check because should is still a word, but that was the wrong word. And then the second item within the educational standards was the fact that we listed out the skills, the authorized activities that were listed in both statute and regulation within the educational standards. And they said that that would probably be a poor practice, only because the fact that if you change either one of those, you'd have to come back and then rechange these four documents again. So they said just reference the fact that it, here's the reg for it, here's the statute for it, and leave it at that. So we made those changes and kept it in the process.
Okay. All right. These are things that the executive committee met and approved. We just, and that information's in your board brief. I just need a motion to approve the executive committee actions.
I'll make a motion to approve the executive committee's actions.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve those actions by the committee. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Moving on. Let's move on to investigation committee.
Thank you. Investigations Committee heard one case involving an applicant for Kansas certification. The applicant properly disclosed two felony convictions. The committee determined that the applicant had presented sufficient evidence that he did not present a danger to the public and granted the application. And we also received a report regarding two emergency orders issued by the executive director through delegated authority. Both cases involved respondents charged with felony charges. And then we adjourned.
Okay.
On those, we adjourned. We had some discussion about some other things that, but then.
And tell them, just give a quick summary of December 18th.
December 18th. Sam, can you help me out here? Okay. I don't think we did anything.
We had all those orders.
You have that agenda, Joe. If you have the agenda, I can probably. Okay. Sorry about that. Please. Okay.
Yeah, since the orders aren't complete, just give a quick summary.
Sure. So the investigations committee had a quasi-judicial meeting to hear a few minor orders. Out of that came two consent agenda cases involving delegated authority in which applicants for certification ended up receiving a penalty for failing to fully disclose criminal convictions in their application. There was a disciplinary case involving an AEMT who made a false or misleading statement on their application that received staff's recommendation, looked and realized based off of their recommendation that he had sufficiently rehabilitated to warrant the public trust. There was a larger case involving 10 respondents, I believe out of Jackson County, involving some off-duty use of their EMS skills and some maybe misuse of those skills. The board ended up taking, or the committee ended up taking action against most of those respondents. The order has not been issued yet, but will be likely this week. And that's all.
Okay.
Thank you, Sam.
All right. All right. Thank you. Let's see. Jill, I'll turn it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to start off with just noting the one variance that was approved was through Labette Health. So Neodesha Fire EMS did close effective December 31st as now being operated by Labette Health. So they maintained the ambulances, but they didn't have the lettering on the side yet. But they'll be working on getting that taken care of and getting that addressed. With the office update, regulations and process, this regulations are moving at the speed of molasses through the state process. We've got three regulations that are dealing with compact staffing that are currently awaiting a review of the economic impact statement by the Division of Budget and their approval before we can start that into the public comment period. Additionally, we have the five regulations you ratified the decision on are sitting over at the Department of Administration still, going through waiting for that component. Then we do have a couple that are just waiting for their compadres to join and move through as a packet. So all the authorized activities we try to group together because they are intertwined. And so moving the three of them through at the same time is what we try to do, the educational standards the same way. So there is a, if you ever have a question as to where a regulation's at in the process, we do post that publicly on our licensure website. Mm-hmm. So chemsys.org/public. There is a tab up at the top that says regulations in process. It also shows the most current version, the what's going through the process at that, where it's at and such. But I, on the, when I say the speed of molasses, the regulation that's coming before you for an adoption or consideration of adoption today, we actually started in April of last year, and this was a fairly simple change to just strike language. So that's why it's taking significantly longer than what it should be, in my opinion, but we'll get that taken care of. So, well, I won't. It's really out of our control. We're speeding up every part that's in our control. So, all right. That's the regulations and process. Next step, I just want to go through a quick overview of some things going on the federal side of it, because there's been a lot of action on the federal side of things this week. So first one, ambulance Medicare add-on payments. Those have been extended now for 23 months from the appropriation bill that was signed on Tuesday. So there was a little bit of a lapse on that extension, but it doesn't matter because there's a 10-day mandatory hold on payments into Medicare. So the 3 days that it lapsed was not necessarily a huge issue. That's a good, strong thing. It's getting closer. Hopefully that'll become permanent at some point as opposed to this temporary, let's just continue to kick it down the road aspect. But there are lots of parties trying to get that more permanent in things that, well, it'll all feed together here shortly. So next is the Administration for Strategic Preparedness and Response. Within that same appropriation bill, I got directed to develop a report to make addressing the EMS workforce shortage a priority. So we'll stand by to see where ASPR decides to take that one. Yesterday, while we were meeting, the DEA released its rules on registering EMS agencies under the Protecting Patient Access to Emergency Medications Act of 2017. So whereas our regulations might move a little slow, that's almost 8 years of rulemaking at the federal side of things. So happy to finally see those rules come out because it offers some very important guidance to the DEA field offices in their application and agencies that are applying for the DEA license. That's a whole component there. Last thing on the federal side, Representative Sharice Davids, her office reached out to us yesterday asking about our position on House Resolution 3443. So it's titled When Minutes Count for Emergency Medical Patients Act. It's also known as the Modernizing EMS Delivery and Sustainability, or MEDS Act. So this bill does a few things. First one, it creates a model for Medicare payment for EMS and directs MedPAC, which is the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission, to conduct a study and then report on what Medicare payment is or on Medicare payment for EMS. Additionally, it directs about three other reports to be performed. One, to determine the value of EMS physician medical direction. The second is the availability of essential medication and blood products for EMS patients. And then third deals with a report upon the transparency of wall times at hospitals during the transfer of care. So this has been out since last May, so we've had opportunity to review it and go through. There's really no concerns in it from a state standpoint. It directs reports to be done and a better assessment to be performed. So we did advise Representative David's office that we were in support of this. They did ask if we would be willing to put down that we were local supporters of it and stated that we would. So there is time if you guys change your mind. I can happily reach back out and tell them that we're not supporting it, but my encouragement to the board would be to support. All right. That's it on the federal side of things. State legislation-wise, there is a EMD and telephone CPR bill that is progressing through the Senate side of things. Frankly, we are in full support of that as well. Great ideas, a very Kansas-centric solution, utilizing technology that's available for the state of Kansas and maintaining local control. So phenomenal job by the Senate Bill 11 team that was directed by the chair of Senate Utilities. And so phenomenal job there. Great report. Glad to see that legislation moving. We didn't see it in time to submit testimony in support of it, but when it hits the House side, because we assume it will hit the House side, we'll be providing our support for that as well. So beyond that, within the state, not a whole lot of EMS-centric things going on over there right now, which is fine. So just budgets, and that's been the main talk of the last few weeks, is lots and lots of budget talk. So we'll continue to monitor over there. Specific for the agency, I do want to introduce Leanne Hauser, the young lady here behind me and to my left. She is going to be replacing Suzette, which not that that's possible, but Suzette is actually going to enter into retirement this time. She was very nice to extend her retirement long enough for us to get Leanne on board and do some onboarding. So we're very pleased with Leanne joining our group. She does come to us from the Kansas Board of Regents with a very extensive history in grant management on that side of things and pretty much all things related to financial aspects of state agency operations. So great fit for the position. We're very lucky to get her. We're very lucky that she accepted. We haven't scared her off yet, and so but this will be her first board meeting. We'll see how things. There's always Monday, right? So so I do just want to also note that a huge thanks to Suzette, a 43-year state employee. And so we are going to let her head off to retirement. But I say head off to retirement. This is the kind of person that she truly is. She wants to make sure that we understand that she's available to us at any point in time that we call and help out, because as she sees it, she's continuing to receive a state check from the state of Kansas because of retirement. And so she has offered to assist us wherever we need to on things moving forward. So I just very quickly, a big round of applause, please, for Suzette. And then the last item that I have is also within the board brief, and this is really just an announcement to you guys on the sponsor and organization 70% compliance. That first attempt, that report is within your packet that went out. The only thing different from this year from previous years into this year is that since this is our fifth year of going through this, we did include a summary of the last 5 years worth of kind of a cumulative thing as to where they're at over that last 5 years. I do want to just stress on this, and the board brief does say it, we shouldn't be looking at these services as being poor performers necessarily for a singular instance. So there is a very great example of one that we had to draw a line in the sand on the 70%, but it just almost doesn't make sense within this packet, and that is Ellsworth County EMS, who basically had a course of 7 students that 4 of them tested in 1 year, 3 of them tested in the other year. All 4 of them passed in year 1. 1 of the 3 that took it in year 2 did not pass. That does drop them below that 70% threshold. But if you look at the class as its entirety, there was only 1 individual of the 7 that didn't pass on their first attempt. So we knew that was going to happen when the regulation was stated 7 years ago. We knew by drawing a line in the sand there were going to be these instances. This is that instance. So just again, a reminder back to the board. These are not necessarily poor performers. This is just the fact that they didn't reach the metric. So we're asking that door be open. You show us what you've been doing within quality assurance, quality review, and to see if we can identify if there's any type of consistencies that we're seeing across those programs. So I'll stop there in case there's any questions.
Any questions for Joe about his office report, federal report? Yes, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your presentation, Joe. On the budget part of it, House, and, because I don't see the House side. Mm-hmm. Are we feeling good on both sides? I just wondered where that was at.
We are. So, great question. The House side did approve what we submitted forth, and then what the interim committee concurred with our recommendation budget-wise. So we are in the House budget bill without change. Okay. So seems to be going very well on that side. I'm just waiting on the Senate side for the hearing. Thanks. And then, Mr. Chair, I said that was the last thing. I should also mention the year in review that the board got. We will post all, it's 6 pages of the year in review documents on our public website. It is just designed for information for you, for the public. If there's other things that you'd like to see within this, feel free to ask. We're happy to add. It was just really a spitball approach that these are things that we might want to look at. And frankly, I'll tell you, the one that stood out on the full board's year in review, at least to me, was seeing that we had 95 regulations in the book, or in the books over across the 17 articles, but 46 of those had been revoked over the years. So we only have 9 in active use. So that was an impressive, I didn't realize it was quite that large. I also didn't realize that we'd revoked so many over the years, but good to see that, and probably wouldn't have seen it had we not gone through that exercise. So if, as you're looking through those, you see anything that just kind of jumps out and you'd like to see additional information or have questions about it, just let us know, and we'll see if we have the data to grab and give it to you. With that, I'm
okay.
Seriously done.
All right. Are you going to present education, or is John?
I can.
Oh, you can? Okay, you've got it. Yeah, all right.
Okay. The Education Committee met yesterday. We had one public comment on items not appearing on the agenda. Chris Cannon, Cali County Community College, and Kimsa Education said he would like more data released earlier, such as the public hearing comments. Director House said the hearing was held on Tuesday, so the information was released right after. In old business, we reviewed KAR 109-11-8, reviewed comments received during public comment period and developed a recommendation for the board related to the consideration of adoption appearing on their February agenda. Director House stated the public comments have been received and closed after the hearing on Tuesday. 12 comments were in support, none were opposed, and Director Ralston made the motion to move it to the full board for consideration, and Dr. Selberg seconded. We'll need to vote on that. Do we want to do that now or wait till the end?
Let's go ahead and do it now.
Okay.
Go ahead. Make the motion since you're.
So I would make the motion to go ahead and accept KR 109-11-8 which is, the successful course completion. We took away the 7-day waiting period for that. And it, yeah. Sorry. So I would make that motion that we do away with the 7-day waiting period. All the educational institutions want that, and as there's really no benefit. So, okay.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion on 109-11-8? Okay. Hearing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion passes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Unfortunately, this has to be a roll call vote. Sorry. I agree. It does. I'm pretty sure I could fill it out, but
sorry.
It does have to actually officially be a roll call vote.
All right. Fire away.
Yeah, sorry. For the adoption of KR 109-11-8 as presented. Adams.
Yes.
David.
Aye.
Essex.
Yes.
Bag.
Yes.
Bayman.
Aye.
Fauscado. Horning.
Aye.
Pearson.
Aye.
Power.
Aye.
Ralston.
Aye.
Sawyer Clayton.
Yes.
Selberg.
Aye.
Wheatley.
Aye.
Passes without opposition.
Thank you.
Okay. On to the new business. We 2025 in review. Director House prevented the year in review information to show what happened in 2025. There were no questions. The BLS skills exam mandatory equipment. There were some requests received to add as required equipment, a scoop structure and coal packs. Director House said the request to add the scoop structure and coal packs to the BLS exam equipment list was received from comments coming out of the exam sites and was not a staff recommendation. There was discussion on the usefulness of scoop stretchers and ice packs, but in some BLS exam scenarios, it was reported that some exam sites would not currently have scoop stretchers, and this could be a new cost. And Director Adams moved to not add scoop stretchers and ice packs as mandatory equipment. And it was seconded by Director Ralston. Potential regulatory disconnect, instructors of clinical trainings. The statute amended in effect on January 1st, 2025, adjusted supervision of students in a clinical setting to include a physician assistant and an APRN, a respiratory therapist, and an EMS provider at or above the level being taught. Regulation currently limits an instructor of clinical training conducted at a clinical health care facility to the licensed physician or licensed professional nurse. Director House reported that the statute change effective July 1st, 2025, created a disconnect in regulation KAR 109-17-1A regarding who can supervise students in a clinical setting versus a clinical health care facility. So Dr. Selberg made the motion to align with the current statute and not amend the list for field internship training, and Director Adams seconded. And then no discussion on rethinking continuing education, and we adjourned.
Okay. Any questions on Education Committee report? Okay. Let's go on to planning and operations. Chief Pearson.
Okay. We have nothing for the board for any action. We did discuss several items under new business. You guys, in the board brief, there was the year in review on call volume statistics. Call volume continues and transports continue to increase. We did discuss that. Had some discussion on a couple of regulations that the Planning and Operations Committee are going to continue working on, as well as with board staff, and KMSA is going to be involved with it as well. And it's identifying some things that with the ambulance inspection process of ambulances that may not meet all the requirements that are in a reserve status or not staffed as a ready-to-go frontline ambulance, basically. And some of those ambulances are not, the way the regulations read, they need to have every piece of equipment according to their protocols on that truck, whether they're staffed with a crew on it or sitting in the back of the bay as a backup or a reserve-type truck. So the long and short of it, basically, is working on definitions. So we've got definition for an out-of-service vehicle. That's clearly defined. What there is no definition for is reserve, spare, and it impacts air medical as well. So having some different definitions and working through that process is the plan. So how quickly that occurs, I don't know, but hopefully we may be able to have something by the next board meeting, but at least to review and discuss. So that is, and it affects two different regulations. The other regulation is 10925 that basically even states when a truck's out of service, and this is one of the issues that it still has to be inside a closed building, heated building, and that is going to be addressed too. We all have, every service that's here has the similar issue that, especially if an ambulance goes out of your department for service at a dealership or a repair facility, the likelihood of that truck being parked inside 24/7 is pretty much nil. Some dealerships or repair shops may agree to put it back inside at night. That way it's secured. But once it's about the only time it's inside during the day, typically or oftentimes, is when it's being worked on, then it gets parked back outside. So addressing that as well, trying to figure out a way to make everything work to where that's not such an issue is the plan moving forward. Did I summarize that well enough, Joe? So again, no action to take on any of that right now, planning and operations, and the other membership of the Planning Operations Committee and KMSA. KMSA is going to work on a survey-type program and bring back to the Planning and Operations Committee on some recommendations, language, and we'll work through that process to come up with something that's hopefully palatable to everybody. A couple of other things that we discussed. We heard from region and associations, professional associations, regions, some things on progression of pre-hospital blood administration and a program that's in place for that, especially in the KC metro area, and that's gaining traction, looking positive. So, you know, as that progresses, hopefully that's something that continues to grow and impact patient care across the state. Joe gave an update on a few things that I guess from my perspective, found interesting. The electric aircraft information was interesting to me, I guess, but I opinions on electric vehicles and lithium ion batteries and thermal runaway and, you know, in a vehicle you can pull over and get out of the car. I'm not sure that's how you're going to do that at 15,000 feet and something happened to a battery in an electric airplane or electric aircraft. But anyway, something to think about. Same with mobile integrated health. A couple of updates on that as well, that on the service renewals, only 11 EMS agencies on service renewals indicated that they were doing some sort of mobile integrated health. But there are likely others that just maybe didn't clearly understand the definition of that or what is occurring within that process to indicate that they were doing some sort of mobile integrated health in their community. So heard an update from Director House as well on KDOT and crash data and some inaccuracies, or not inaccuracies, but differences of what one database may be showing. KDOT shows the board database showed 270,000. KDOT shows 90,000 crashes in the state. Is that correct? So where that gap is at is hard to say. And then there's some other discrepancies with a few other counties in the state on some of the data as well. And then I provided a brief update on, and I'm not sure if anything's made it to the legislative side of things. I don't believe so. I think it's still being discussed on the state 800 megahertz interoperable radio communications system that's in place, and discussion that's starting to occur with NKDOT on maintenance upgrades, maintenance that is going to have to occur. That system's getting old, and there's maintenance that's going to be required, and how that's going to be moving through the process. There's a varying degrees as everywhere of estimates upwards of over $1 million per tower site to upgrade the system. So I guess for you elected officials, to time to sharpen your pencils, I'm not sure how that's going to work, but or if it'll even get to you this year. I'm guessing it. I don't know if it'll get to that level this year or not, Joe, but I don't know if you've heard anything else. It's just the last interoperable radio communications meeting that was a couple of weeks ago in Wichita, that was a topic of discussion and concern and seeing where that's going. But just to kind of put that on your guys' radar, if it ends up across the street, which I don't know that it will this year, but I believe that was it.
Okay, any questions for Chief Pearson on his report? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. Every year we need to approve the delegations for concurrent authority. These are basically permissions we give Joe to take care of certain things without having to have total board approval. And these are things, the list is in your packet, but just for an example, these things are legislative matters, issuance of emergency orders, variance approvals, and there's like five other things, but those are just some things that we asked Joe to do, so we don't have to have a meeting to sort these things out, because they're usually pretty straightforward. So anyway, I'd accept a motion to approve the continued use of delegations for concurrent authority.
So moved.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion regarding this? Hearing none, I assume I don't have to do a roll call vote on this one. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Let me get back to the top and see. Let's see. Oh, elections. All right. Every year in February, we have to have chair and vice chair elections. So I usually turn this over to Jerry.
We'll open nominations for chair.
I'd nominate Dr. Hornig for chair.
I'll second. Any more nominations? Okay, I'll close the nomination. All those in favor of Dr. Horning being chair, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Okay, I will open nominations for vice chair. I'll nominate Shane Pearson, Chief Pearson.
Second.
Okay. Are there any more nominations? Hearing none, nominations are closed. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, motion passes. Congratulations, gentlemen.
Oh, boy. Just to let everybody know, this will be my last year as chair. I think at the end of the year, I'm probably going to shut down my medical license and do the full retirement unless the stock market crashes in between now and then. So sometime during, some brave souls are going to have to step up and decide if they want to take over the position. And it's really not difficult. Joe does all the work. I just have to try not to trip over my tongue during meetings. So thank you very much. I think that's all on the agenda. Is there anything else, Joe, you can think of? No? Okay. Hearing none, we are adjourned until April. Thank you.